Detroit is running in forward and reverse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. We're getting one of our first snapshots of the sales picture for the car industry amid signs the country's economic engine may be sputtering. And it seems General Motors was running, as I mentioned, in both forward and reverse. Let me explain. The automaker reports a 9% rise in retail sales from May a year earlier. But total sales, including fleet purchases by businesses like car rental companies, fell by 1%. Still, there's news the auto industry is gearing up to hire more workers. Let's reconcile those things with Kristen Jicek, a labor specialist at the Center for Automotive Research. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome.
So we got some pretty disappointing job numbers, but I hear the big three automakers are on a hiring blitz. What's going on there?
It's hard to go anywhere but up from where we were.
That's true. This
is a very cyclical industry, and we're on an upswing. So there has been hiring. Products are selling. We've got a much lower capacity, and they're starting to fill it all out.
Well, you say there was nowhere to go but up. So what does this say about the health of automakers and the economy?
I think, the automakers are certainly much more healthy after having gone through the crisis that they did. A lot of these changes were in the works for somewhat 10 years, though. I mean, we've been closing plants, downsizing the workforce, working on adjustments in the UAW agreements. But we really got, a financial balance sheet scrubbing in 2009 with the bankruptcies.
If hiring in the general economy is sputtering, can this be sustained?
It's very dependent. Auto sales are very dependent upon the growth in GDP. So if GDP is above 3% growth, roughly, we see auto sales on a positive track. But if it's sputtering along, that's really very difficult to sustain. So we really need to see sustained moderate 3% growth in GDP or so before we get positive sales.
Kristen Jicek at the Center for Automotive Research. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Today's numbers reflect fresh worries about slippage in hiring overall and weak manufacturing. The Dow has dropped 152 points, almost 1.25%. The Nasdaq is off 0.9%. The S&P 500 lower by more than 1%. A new cruise terminal is coming to the Motor City this month. That's right, Detroit is joining ports of call like Miami. Here's Michigan Radio's Sarah Hewlett.
Work crews are putting the finishing touches on Detroit's $22 million cruise ship and ferry terminal. The project was financed mostly with federal dollars. Stephen Olenek is with the Detroit Wayne County Port Authority. He stands in front of a corrugated steel and glass building, looking out onto a brand new concrete wharf in the Detroit River. He and other supporters hope it will help bring back the once thriving Great Lakes cruise industry. But as of now, Olenek admits there are not many cruise ships waiting to dock in Detroit.
But my sense and the sense of others involved in this revitalization of the trade is that once one of these large operators got involved in the trade, they would be very successful and others would follow.
What we have here is a boondoggle.
Leon Drillette is the director of the Michigan Taxpayers Alliance.
Detroit doesn't need a cruise ship stop. That money that went to the cruise ship dock, if it went to police officers, I think a lot more people felt good about it.
Port officials expect two calls this summer from a Great Lakes cruise ship and one from a tall ship, but no other cruise stops are scheduled. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day on the web at manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The organizers of the World Cup are meeting in Switzerland today under a cloud of bribery allegations involving the ruling soccer organization known as FIFA. But the accusations don't end there. As Christopher Worth reports, European soccer leagues have been the target of illegal gambling circles in Asia.
station is Wembley Park. Change here for the...
Let's take the London subway to Wembley Stadium. This past weekend, thousands of fans flocked here for the Super Bowl of European soccer, the Champions League final. And across the street is an upscale apartment building that was home to Wilson Raj Permal. He's a match fixer from Singapore charged with bribing players in Finland to throw soccer matches.
What this is it's a globalized phenomenon.
Declan Hill is the author of The Fix, about the connection between soccer and organized crime.
There are these high-placed match-fixing brokers based out of Asia, and they'll fix games anywhere in the world.
He says corruption like this has ruined soccer in China and other parts of Asia. Even though betting is illegal there, match-fixing is so widespread, gamblers are taking an ever greater interest in European leagues.
Tens, hundreds of millions of gamblers in Asia are now placing bets on sporting events that they never used to.
To understand the scale of the problem, here's Ronald Noble of the international police organization Interpol at a recent press conference. It ran a sting operation in China and Southeast Asia during the World Cup last year.
During that one-month operation, more than 5,000 arrests were made and illegal gambling dens, which handled over $2 billion U.S. dollars worth of bets, were closed. That's 1 month.
Interpol and FIFA have announced a $20 million program to combat match-fixing. But Stefan Szymanski, a sports economist at Cass Business School, says there's a cheaper solution.
The ideal response to match-fixing is to make gambling legal wherever you can and therefore reduce the opportunities for the match-fixers to go unnoticed.
He says that would make it easier to spot people fixing games. But until that happens, Declan Hill says it's only a matter of time before those match fixers hit the U.S. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Finally, it's like Extreme Makeover Japan Edition. That country is bracing for a long, hot summer with so many power plants offline. Some firms are pledging to keep thermostats at 82 Fahrenheit to save electricity. So how are they going to keep cool? The government is promoting a new dress code, aloha shirts, jeans, and sneakers. Well, the idea is giving the traditional dark suit and tie crowd the sweats. One trade ministry worker tells the Wall Street Journal he's got a fallback plan for when he has to greet guests. He'll keep a suit at his desk to change into. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Tobacco use in the military is higher than the national average, but with the obvious health risks, why are prices kept so low for service members?
If you just look at the things that smoking decreases, it decreases a military member's fitness, decreases fine motor coordination, stamina, even decreases wound healing.
I'm Tess Vigeland. A look at the bargain-priced tobacco sold to troops next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.